Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. We are thrilled you could join us today for 2 weeks of Dad's timeless messages from God's Word on angels. We welcome you to invite your friends, family, and neighbors to view these special broadcasts with you. We are excited to share a new book available at CWH, Heartwarming Devotions, Volume 1. 31 insightful devotions written by Pastor Salem. If you would like to receive this faith-building devotional where you can set time aside to focus on God and respond with personal reflection, please write, call, or visit our website at cwh.org. Now, let's join Dad for his sermon, Angels, You Better Believe It, where he reveals to us stories in the Bible of angels watching over and helping God's people. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I say it every week, we're always so happy when the weeks come around and we can gather all over the world, the believers all over the world, and then some aren't believers, and they're listening in, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're putting their faith in Him. And I just can't wait every week to gather together. And someday we're all going to gather together in heaven, and we'll see each other, and won't that be something? Well, I'm going to have two sermons. I'm going to have one this week and next week about angels. Angels. I get letters, and people wonder about the angels, and are they really angels, and where are they, and can you see them, and all that. So you tell your friends, you may give them a ring while we're having this opening prayer, and tell them, tune us in, going to talk about the angels. But we're looking at the Psalm 119 and the opening verses. Blessed are the undefiled who in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. I know that that's, dear God, that's every one of us is praying that we will keep Your statutes, Your commands, Your word. We will walk according to Your word, which is pleasing in Your sight. And we know that if we do that, there's joy and strength and happiness. So we thank You for the privilege of knowing You and walking with You in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb is going to sing, The Savior is Waiting. And so you just listen to the words of this song, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to a good number of you, I'm just sure. So God bless you, Barb.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end within your heart. You'll abide. wants to come in.
Thank you, Barb. And that's what we're told in the scriptures, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. Jesus saying, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come in and dwell with him and he with me. And so that's what you're thinking today. I want Jesus in my heart. I've never asked Jesus into my heart. You have to ask him, and he'll never come into your heart unless you ask him. He's standing on the outside of your heart, and he's knocking, and you have to open the door. Nobody else can do it. Holman Hunt has a picture of Christ at heart's door, and in that picture, there's no knob on the outside door. It can only be opened from the inside. And you said yes. You're saying yes, yes. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And he's talking to you now, and he's knocking at your heart's door now. And so I'll tell you how you have him come in your heart. You just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and wash them all away in the blood of the Lamb. And I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. And thank you. And if you made that prayer, Jesus is in your heart. And if he comes into your heart, he will never leave you. He will never leave us or forsake us. And you are saved for all eternity. And so you just say that little prayer, just your own way, and just mean business. And then when you say you'll follow him, it means you're going to turn from the world and the ways of the world and the things that are wrong. You're going to live for him, and you're never going to always, you'll never be exactly perfect. I can tell you from experience, I've been walking with Jesus 87 years, 87. And I failed him so many times, and I want to be perfect. And you'd think after 87 years, I'd be doing pretty good. I'm not doing very good. I have thoughts not good. I'm failing to do things I should do. And so just ask him to forgive you and just make up your mind. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus the best I can, and he'll help you, and you'll be happy. Oh, that's the only way to travel. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, we're just so happy about that. And we get some letters about angels and people wondering about these angels. And are there really angels, and where are they? And I've never seen one. Will I see one? And, oh, there's a lot of questions. So we're going to preach about that this week and next week, about the angels. So tell your friends, tune us in. But I want to look at some of these letters. We get so many wonderful letters, just can't thank you enough. And the first one is from Rapid City, South Dakota. And they write and said, please send me 3 copies of The Heart of a Shepherd. 2 will go to my grandchildren's home, and 1 I will keep and share. That's exactly what we have in mind with this film, because it's how to come to Jesus. And in the film, we pray, though, that prayer, and we have it so that even the children can understand. And it's the story of a little boy, 10 years old, who accepted Jesus and grew up to be a pastor. And so it's just, will bless you, I know. And so these folks are going to give it to their grandchildren. You couldn't do anything any better. And Christmas is coming up. This is a perfect time to do it. And what you do, we send them out on a free will offering basis. And then you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, carry on this ministry, and we'll send you these 3 or whatever you have. You want 300, we'll give you 300 for your church maybe. I don't know. But we can supply them. And then you'll have this. And by the way, people asking what they retail at $10 each. But you don't need to worry about that. It's a free will offering basis. If you got it all right, if you don't have it all right, if you don't have anything all right, just write. Here is Middletown, New York. May God bless you. You touch my life with your heart of love. You bless many people. Love to you in Christ. And so I tell you, the whole team loves you. That's what we do. You know, God loves you. And the Christian worship hour loves you. And we have volunteer people working and singing, our musicians, all volunteer musicians. They do it because they love you. And so I just want you to know that the love of God is, you say, well, I'm a pretty bad sinner. I've done some bad things. Well, I guess we've all done bad things, haven't we, when we look back? We all have things we're not proud of, sorry for. But that's all in the past. That's all into the blood. And Jesus, God tells us, let us come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in Hebrews, God tells us, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're all washed away. So don't look back. Look ahead. Look to Jesus. Move on. Serve him. Well, let's see. What is this? Maple Grove, Minnesota. We are donating a few dollars and asking for the DVD movie, The Heart of the Shepherd. I'm sure it'll be a good witnessing tool. That's exactly what it is, a witnessing tool. You say, what does it do? Well, it's a true story, and it's about how I accepted Jesus. And then we tell people how to accept the Lord Jesus. Make that prayer. And maybe there's some people that they've never heard it before. Maybe they never heard the way of salvation. And they'll pray, oh, and this is a tool to open their heart. So they'll make that prayer, take Jesus into their heart, become a child of God. We just pray multitudes will do that all over the world. Let's see, Hot Springs, South Dakota. The first time I wrote to you, I had become a new Christian. I have since celebrated my 10th anniversary and have been the best 10 years of my life. The goodness of my Savior has been love and acceptance and blessing and provisions and peace and joy beyond words. And the list is barely to start. For anyone who longs for the best there is to get, give your life to the Lord. This dear soul should have been a preacher. Isn't that beautiful? Give your heart to the Lord. And look at all she says here, the goodness of the Lord, and how that he gives us blessings and provisions and peace and joy beyond words. And then she says, that's the list just to start. You need Jesus. Oh, and we're so happy when we have people like testify to that. Just open your heart to Jesus. Now, here's one I want you all to listen to because I want you to pray for this person. We all need to pray all over the world. Here is Shawnee, Kansas. I dedicate this to my mother. He sent a gift. I dedicate this to my mother who committed suicide when I was 14 years old. I am now 70 and still think of her every day. I've been a drug addict most of all of my life, and I don't want to how many times I've been down and out. I pray for God's forgiveness. The last 4 years, I've been addicted to one drug that I just can't seem to quit. I read the Bible and I pray, for I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven and see my Jesus and see my mother. Can I still go to heaven being addicted, but still loving Jesus? Please answer this. And I can answer this real easy. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, yes. Even though you may be battling alcohol or addiction or whatever it is, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you try to quit, but if you never quit, the grace of God will go cover your sins. And it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There is no religion in the world that has grace, only Christianity. And that's the grace of God. That's a wonderful gospel. And so this dear brother, just pray that he can get out of it, but pray that he has peace to know that as he calls, ask Jesus, Jesus holds him in his hand and he'll see his mother. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. Oh, praise God. Here's one. Oh, this letter, this is an email that comes over 7,000 miles away. Papua New Guinea. And they write, "You are the inspiration of every one of us who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. With your age, you are going strong in the work of the Lord Jesus. Love to watch your TV program on Daystar. Greetings and blessings from Papua New Guinea." So here's a part of our family, 7,000 miles away. And we're worshiping right together this minute as they sit down and they watch this service and they pray. And that's part of our family. Oh, it is so thrilling. And we're going to see all these people someday. We won't be 7,000 miles away. We'll all be together in heaven. And won't that be a wonderful time? Oh, I can't hardly wait. Here's one from Bermuda. Hamilton, Bermuda. This isn't quite so far. This is about 2,000 miles away. And you wonder, have you been there? How do you know? Well, I got a friend named Kent, and he can work on that, I don't know, he measures it somehow, and he gets it on that, figures it out, and there he's got it. He tells me. So this is only 2,000 miles away. But he said, "Today I listened to you preached on television, Daystar, the validity of the Bible, and how archaeology and science confirms the truth and the history of the scriptures." That is exactly right. Archaeology, every time they find some archaeological event that took place, and the Bible talks about it, it always matches exactly the way the Bible puts it. And it is also a wonderful, the scripture is a science, is true science. Evolution isn't science. Evolution is theory, a bad theory at that. Because Christianity, this wonderful Bible, is a scientific fact. And whenever there's any science in it, it's always right, proved by science today. And so he says, "I want to obtain a copy of this sermon, and I don't know the title," and so on. And he says, thanks to you for your kind attention. So how happy we are with this dear brother. And we've sent it already, send it to him. And a lot of these things you can get on our Christian Worship Hour on our website, christianworshiphour.com. And you can get a lot of these sermons on there, and you can take them off of those the sermons if you want them. And you print them out and look at them, preach them. And preach them if you want to. None of you probably want to put your name to my sermons because I'm not very good, but you can sure have them, whatever you want on them. Just check us out and you can get a lot of that information. One more, and this is Grand Forks, North Dakota. "I have been going to order Heart of a Shepherd, and my husband said we could get one for each of our children. We have 7 children. Thank you very much for your ministry. We'll be praying for you." Isn't that wonderful? Here they are. They're getting one of these for every one of their children. I suspect many of these children have their own homes, and they're putting that wonderful Heart of a Shepherd, and it'll cheer your heart and it'll bless your heart, because it's about people, everyday people, and how we walk with Jesus, how Jesus helps us, and he never fails us, and you can lean on him. So be sure, you do that for your children. Do that for your friends. Do that for everybody. And then if you want to get that, you can write to us. Let me give the address. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want the internet, we're on christianworshiphour.com. And you write to us. You send any amount of money you want, and if you don't have any, write to us. We'll see that you get this film and use it to God's glory. And then we have what we call the new song. And that's a little Bible study that we put out every month. And this month it is entitled Almost a Christian. And it's about somebody who was almost a Christian, but not quite. And so I think you'll enjoy this. And maybe you're an almost a Christian, but you're really not in. You haven't accepted Jesus. So we'll be glad to send that. And then, of course, we need your help. We need to have to send us a gift. And what the way we do that is we just ask you, you just ask Jesus and just ask to the Lord, just talk to God and say, now, Lord, the Christian Worship Hour, do you want me to support that? Should I support that? And he'll say yes or he'll say no. He'll answer you. You'll know. You'll just know in your heart. And then if he says yes, and I hope that he will, but if it's his will, it's fine. If it isn't his will, we don't want to be out of the will of God, even if it costs us money. We don't want to be out of the will of God. And so then you just say, how much should I give, dear Lord? And the Lord lay it on your heart. And for we're on in our 40th year, and we pay every time, we pay on time, because God supplies, and we're not supported by any denomination or organization. We're supported by God's people. So I'm going to pray now, and then Jan's going to play. And while she plays, you ask God what to do, and then you help us with our work. And if you want to send a gift, you can send it over the internet, christianworshiphour.com. You can send it from any place in the world. We get gifts from all over the world on christianworshiphour.com. So now I'm going to pray, and then you follow through. So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all who are helping us and all who are praying and all who are giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Acts chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 11. And then we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so today we're going to be praying for the people, our brothers and sisters in Colombia. So let's look at this scripture. Peter is in prison. And it starts, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And when they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So, dear Heavenly Father, what a beautiful story. We're so glad it's in the Bible. And here are the angels, and Peter's in trouble. He's in big trouble. He's in prison. He's between two soldiers, guards, and they're chained to Peter. And he's liberated by the angels of God. And so we thank you for the angels, Lord, because if they're still here in this world, watching over God's people like they watched over Peter, so they're watching over us. And they're caring for us, and we thank you, dear Jesus, for that. Dear Lord, in our service today, it's all we always pray. We pray that the people that don't know you, that they will open their heart to Jesus and find everlasting life and joy and forgiveness of sins. And we pray for those who are on sick beds, and we pray for those who don't know which way to turn, young people that are having to make decisions for life, and what are they going to do in life, and oh, dear Lord, so many things. And then those who are in Colombia, Lord, our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church, and how they're suffering right now, Lord, what during this service, perhaps some will be put to death. And their wives will see that because the men are put to death first. And the wives will see that, and the little children will see that. Oh, God, our heart aches for those people. And yet they are strong because they love you and they stand for you. And may we take a lesson, Lord, that we'll stand up too and speak up for you and live for you and not be afraid and take back seat to anybody, to the devil. So bless them and help them to know that we're praying for them. Maybe they're getting our service right now. We pray they do. So bless us in this service now, Lord. May everything we do and say honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now before the sermon, Hank's going to sing for us a beautiful song, My Savior's Love. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it.
Sometimes I awake and tremble inside just to think how life might have been if Jesus had never given his life to die for a sinner like me. Without his love, my Savior's love, where would I be today? Without his blood, his cleansing blood, to wash all my sins away. Without his love, my Savior's love, peace for my soul would be gone. The deeds of my hands would ne'er be enough without my Savior's love. And where would the dream of heaven be now if Jesus had not rose again? From hell and the grave he came forth to say, death has no power over me. Without his love, my Savior's love, where would I be today? Without his blood, his cleansing blood, to wash all my sins away. Without his love, my Savior's love, peace for my soul would be gone. The deeds of my hands would ne'er be enough without my Savior's love. Without His love, my Savior's love, peace for my soul would be gone. The deeds of my hands would ne'er be enough without my Savior's love.
Thank God bless you. And singing about our Savior's love. And that's something all of you need to remember. God loves you. And He wants you to be in heaven with Him. But He can't take you to heaven with your sin. Something has to be done with that sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross and He shed His blood. Because it tells us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so you come to Jesus and you ask Him to forgive you. He'll forgive you for your sins and you'll be in heaven with Him. He wants you to go to heaven. That's why He died for you and rose again from the dead. That wonderful, wonderful Savior's love. And I just might add, too, that the Christian Worship Hour, we have volunteer service all the way through. Maybe we got one we have to pay for a little special help, in our ministry, the technical part of it. But otherwise, it's all our people, musicians and technicians and everybody. And, well, I guess I get a salary or I starve to death. But the people that do the work, they're all volunteers. And that's because they love you. Well, we're going to talk about angels. And when we come to the study of the angels, we're going to have that for two Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday. And so when we come to the study of angels, we see one thing, and that is Jesus believed in the angels. And if Jesus believed in the angels, that's good enough for me. You don't need to prove to me there's angels, because God says there's angels, and Jesus believed in the angels. And so far as the Bible is concerned, we find angels everywhere. In the Old Testament, we have angels. In the New Testament, we have angels. From Genesis to Revelation, we have angels. The existence of angels is simply assumed in many places, and in other places is seen. The Bible has more than 300 direct references to angels. Let me remind you, first of all, then, the Bible is the source book on angels. We know all we know about angels is from the Bible. There are stories of all kinds we hear about angels. Some are true and some are all only fancy. So when it comes right down to official and things reliable on angels, it has to come from the Bible. That's the only place we get information about angels. And so the Bible has many stories about angels. Some of these stories about men and women who have experienced the presence and the power of the angels. One such instance is in Acts chapter 12. Peter is in prison. He's in prison guarded by soldiers. Think of it, one poor fisherman, apostles, and he has soldiers all over, the guards all over the place. He has two of them asleep with him, one on each side, and he's chained to them. And the chains are on the hands and on the legs. And then they have the guard at the door, and they have other guards, and then they have the iron gate. But they don't want to lose Peter. And for one thing, now these guards don't want to lose Peter, because if they lose him, they lose their heads. They're done. There's no checking or wondering what happened. You lose your prisoner, and you're dead. King Herod, and so in this story, King Herod had just beheaded John the Baptist. And that made the Jewish leaders very happy. And so Herod, finding favor with the leaders in this fashion, arrests Peter. and he's going to execute him. He puts him in prison. He's going to execute him as soon as Passover is passed. So Peter's in prison awaiting his execution. He's on death row, and he's not going to get 10 years on death row. He's going to get just a few days as soon as Passover, the celebration of Passover, he's going to lose his head. So many of the believers gathered together in the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. They gathered together to pray, and they prayed for Peter that he'd get out of prison. And they were not thinking that anything would happen. They didn't really, but because it shows later on in the story that they just didn't believe he was out. And so they're praying that he'll get out. And they're in multitudes, and they're all praying in Mary's house. It's just like I read the story, a whole group of people in town, they're going to pray for rain. And a whole bunch of people came, and only one little girl brought an umbrella. Nobody brought an umbrella. Praying for rain, no umbrellas. And so many times that's the way we pray, and we just really don't have it. We maybe don't have that faith in it the way we should. At least that's the way these people were. And so Peter's going to be executed. And he goes to sleep in prison. Can you imagine that? While he's in prison, he goes to sleep with these prisoners, chained to him. And all of a sudden, there it is. It's an angel. And the angel comes and he taps Peter on the side to wake him up. And then Peter, he's just all relaxed and wakes him up. The angel tells Peter to get up in a hurry, and he does. And the chains fall to the floor, that old cold prison floor. They're all gone. The angel commanded Peter, get dressed, put on your shoes. Peter did that. The angel said, put on your coat, follow me. Peter did that. And then the angel went before him through the prison and to the outside street, free. All the while Peter was doing that, what we would have been doing, he thought he was dreaming. He thought it was a vision. That's just what we would have thought. He couldn't believe that he was out of prison, that he was a free man. And so then they passed on out of that prison, and that angel is there. And then they're outside, and the angel disappears. And Peter, breathing the cool, refreshing night air, he'd been in that stinky old prison. Inner prison is where he was. And now he's a free man, and he comes to his senses. And he says to himself in Acts 12, verse 11, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so he's a free man, and God is setting him free. Peter had it exactly right. Peter says, the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me. Acts 12, 11. So the witness around the story in the Bible of the angels of God helping and delivering God's people. And here he comes and performs this miracle, and it would be impossible for no one could get out of that prison, but the angels have the power and the ability, and they have something that the mortals don't have, and they take him out, and he's free. There, that we could look at many other illustrations where the angels were present to help the people of God. Take, for instance, we all know the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were cast in the burning fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship the old King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And they put them in this burning fiery furnace. And when Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in and he says, lo and behold, the fire cannot touch them. They come out and they don't even smell of smoke. They're not even singed, not a thing. And they're kept free. And in Daniel 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar cries out to all to hear, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusts in him. The angel of God. With the story of the three Hebrew children, or all of us know about Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, I love to read that story, because I was scared of a cat, let alone a lion, and they throw him in this den. And now the king is Darius, it's a different king. and he has cast Daniel into the lion's den. And Darius didn't want to do it, but his people around him tricked him, and he signed a decree that if anybody would worship anything or bow or be obedient, disobedient, would pray to anybody except him, they would be put in the lion's den. And you know Daniel prayed looking at his open window. He could have been in the closet praying and had God would have heard him, but no. His custom was to pray in the open window, and he prayed, and he stood up for God and Darius. And then the men come to King Darius and says, he has disobeyed you, and he has to be cast into the lion's den. And it says that Darius was just sick at heart. There was no music in the palace that night, because that evening they threw Daniel into the lion's den, and a huge stone was rolled over the place, a mouth, and Daniel's in that den. And Darius doesn't sleep that night. And early in the morning he comes back, and Daniel came early in the morning while it was still dark, we are told, and he comes there and has a stone rolled away. And he says, Daniel, Daniel, your God whom you always worship, has he been able to save you from the lions? And from the lion's den comes the calm, confident answer of Daniel. He can't even see in there, it's still dark. And Daniel calls back and he says, yes, my God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. Oh, the power of the angels and the ability. There are many, many other stories that we could give you where the angels come and help the people of God. And so when you look at the angels, you notice that there are two great names among angels. They have many names, but two of them stand out. One is Gabriel, and that means mighty one of God. And he's always bringing important news. He's always bringing good news. You're happy if Gabriel came around because you knew there'd be some good news. For instance, Gabriel met Zechariah inside the Holy of Holies in the temple, and he told him his prayers had been answered. That's good news, isn't it? And Gabriel tells Zechariah the priest that he would have a son, not just a son, but the angel tells him in Luke 1, verse 11 to 17, but this son would be the forerunner of the Messiah. What a great honor. That's the joy that Gabriel brings. And shortly thereafter, the same Gabriel goes to Mary to tell her the best news the world ever heard or ever will hear, that God is going to send his son to earth in the flesh to be the savior of the world and to establish his kingdom that will last forever and ever. Gabriel, 500 years before this, Gabriel stood before Daniel and gave him the good news of future events, Gabriel. And then the other one is Michael. And Michael means who is like God. Gabriel is more of an announcing and preaching angel. Michael is more involved in protecting and fighting. Individual angels seem to have special gifts and responsibilities, just like Christians when we accept the Lord. We have the gift that God gives us, and we're to use that gift for the Lord. And so this individual aim seems to have special responsibilities, and like in the members of the body of Christ. And only three times in the Old Testament do we see this particular Michael mentioned. He's associated with Israel in the Old Testament as Israel's protector and guardian. Michael is mentioned two times in the New Testament. In Jude verse 9, he is called the Archangel Michael. This title, Archangel, means he is an angel who is first and principal and chief. Only Michael is given that name in Scripture. Gabriel is never called an archangel. It is Michael. Paul may have been referring to Michael in 1 Thessalonians verse 4:16. We think this is Michael. Listen to it. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, probably Michael. The voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And and the dead in Christ first, and then we which are to remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it goes, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Great comfort, the angels. But they have others, but this book, meaning for a moment, who is like God? And the answer really is nobody. Nobody compares to God, not even Michael, captain of the angelic host. But there are other names given to the angels. For one is hosts. When David met Goliath, he declared in 1 Samuel 17, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He's talking about the angels, the Lord of the hosts. They talk about the chariots of fire. Elisha's servants were opened, and he saw chariots of fire and horses of fire. 2 Kings 6, 17. They are believed to be angels that he saw. When the chariots of fire and horses of fire swooped down to carry Elijah to heaven, it probably was a squadron of angels taking an old warrior home. 2 Kings 2, verse 11. Those horses were great angels of God, taking them up into the very presence of God. And they're also called holy ones. The psalmist says in the Psalm 89, verse 7, in the council of the holy ones, God is feared. He is more awesome than all who have surrounded him. The angels are called the mighty ones in Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe the Lord glory and strength. And then besides the angels, we have the cherubim and the seraphim, and not much is known about that them, except they have a very close relationship with the very throne of God. But there is one angel we need to look at, and it's the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is a very special angel, different from all of the other angels. You'll notice as you read the Old Testament, the ways the angels are spoken of. The angels can be spoken about the angel of the Lord, or they can be spoken of an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord could refer to sounds just like God speaking because he is God. And when you read about the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. And that wonderful Jesus comes, and he comes to be our great angel of God. And so after he's born, he had a physical body. And so Jesus then has a physical body. And then the angel of the Lord after birth in Bethlehem, now he isn't called that anymore. He's called the Son of God. You never read of the angel of the Lord after the birth of Jesus, because now he is the Son of God. He's not in the Old Testament in his pre-incarnate form. So who is the one angel of the Lord? It can only be one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus existed before he was born of Mary. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. He is has no beginning and he has no ending. For instance, look at the encounter Moses had with the burning bush in the Midian desert. The Bible says that Moses was herding sheep on the far side of the desert near Horeb, the mountain of God. And there it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, the flames of fire from within a bush. Exodus 3, verse 1. Then God called to Moses from within the bush, and listen to what he says. This is the angel of God speaking. Exodus 33, verses 14 to 16. I am who I am. This is my name forever. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord thy God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me. And as you all know, that can only belong to Jesus Christ. And once he is born of the Virgin Mary, then those are all put away. He has that body of flesh, and he is the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. Now he's called the Son of God, plainly and clearly. What a wonderful God. And so he comes to the hearts of his people. And when we accept Jesus Christ, that wonderful Savior comes and joins into our heart. And he guides us and he helps us. And he's ever with us to make us decisions. And I think of the young people. I pray for them so often. What a crazy world we are leaving them. How wicked we are to leave them what we're leaving them. And they have to take it and shoulder it. And what are they going to do? And what way will they turn? And they don't know what to do. And so just pray that God will guide them and direct them. And pray they'll have Jesus. Because if they have Jesus, they can conquer all. They never need to worry about that. And that's the Jesus that's also with you. And maybe, friend, you need to take heart. Maybe you're on a bed of sickness today. Maybe you're facing death today. I prayed with a lady the other day, just has a few months to live. Maybe you have lost your job. Maybe your child has gone into sin. Maybe you have troubles of every kind and imagine. And just think of this. There is a friend, the wonderful Jesus, the Son of God, the angel of God, but no longer than it, call him an angel. He is now the Son of God. And this wonderful Savior promises, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is telling that heaven and earth may pass away. My word will never pass away. My promises will never pass away. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. You need to trust Jesus. But perhaps you say, well, in all honesty, I have to admit, I really don't know Jesus. I know about Jesus, but I don't have any relationship with Jesus. I don't have any personal closeness with him at all. But I wished I could. I hear about him. And if that be the case, just remember this. As we began, God be Jesus at your heart's door. And he's knocking and he's saying, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, maybe right now some Holy Spirit is telling you, you need Jesus. And you're saying, yeah, I do need Jesus. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. And I got to get rid of my sins. And I need somebody to help me and to be with me. And you just pray, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. And I'm sorry for my sins. And just come into my heart and take away my sins, dear Jesus. And I'll forsake them and I'll live for you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us and let us know if you accepted the Lord. We'll send you some literature. And then pray for us. And then ask God about helping us. You say, yes, I want the world to hear that message. We're all over the world, shortwave and television. And so you just say yes. And I'm going to help them. You ask God, what should I do? And then you help us a gift. Send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. I'm giving especially because of the shortwave people. God bless them. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you write to us. And pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And remember this, all of your money is carefully taken care of. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and every penny, it goes exactly where we say. It's going to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide. And so you just write to us. And maybe you like to have a question, and maybe you like to give something. Tell us about yourself and tell us maybe if you have a need and we'll try to help you with that. We'll pray for you, but we just need to hear from you. And oh, now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people that have just prayed just now, just a second, a moment or two ago. They've asked you to come into their heart and now you're there. And you're cleansing of all their sins, and their sins are all washed away. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're your child, and they will never perish. Lord, we pray for the shut-ins. We pray for those that are lonely. We pray for the aged that can't get around. We pray for the young people who have their decisions. We're praying for the children, the precious children. Oh, God, just Help them to come to know you and give them strength and guidance. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you, everyone. We hope to hear from you, have to hear from you if we're going to carry on. And then next week, remember, we're going to talk about the angels again. And I love to preach this next sermon. I really like it because it tells how the angels take us to heaven. And so you tell your friends, and it all comes out of the Bible. If it doesn't have a scripture to it, don't pay any attention to any of these theories and stories that you hear. It's got to have the Bible. But tell your friends, he's going to tell us about angels taking us to heaven. And won't that be something? And so we're just praying for you. Want you to know that God loves you. No matter what your sin might be, he loves you. He wants you to come and be cleansed and made clean. And he says your sins, he'll never remember them anymore. And you remember the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And when we go to work, when we have these services, we pray for you and just beg God to help us help you to come to Jesus and then walk with Jesus and live for him. And I want you something else too, friends. I want you to know that I love you the best way I know how. And I'm telling you the best way I know how. You need Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you just trust him. Lean on him. He'll never let you down. God bless you. God bless you, dear friends, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.